Here, the old gods are dead.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is the Creepy Wee podcast, and today we're going to be talking about Boleskine House and Aleister Crowley.
Yeah, so I'm just going to start off by talking about Boleskine House, and I would just like to start off by saying we are not linguists. However, there have been many ways I have seen Boleskine pronounced. Some people say Boleskine, some people say Boleskine, but me and the Gaelic Umphies have discussed, and we have decided that it would be pronounced like, from the Gaelic, Boleskine, which is like the area name. So Boleskine is like the closest I can get to that. So about the house as a whole, it's in Foyers in the Highlands of Scotland. If you don't know where Foyers is, it's about half an hour outside Inverness. Boleskine was actually originally established as a parish in the 13th century as a kirk and a graveyard, a kirk being a church combo, and was used as such like all the way up to the Jacobite Rising or the 45 Rebellion for the throne. The graveyard part of the two would be known to like Outlander fans, as it's been used for filming for that TV show. I'm not really a watcher of the show, I just know that as a fact.
I might watch it. Something that's filmed in Fife, so
yeah.
And I like a romantic novel moment. I might actually. I might watch it.
I have been meaning to get around to it. My dad swears by it as a show. I've just never seen it.
Your dad.
My dad. My dad loves a rom-com too. Like he's very that girl. And the main like character guy from that, the actor, he lives like in a flat like below one of my friends. I will not disclose his location. I'm not doxing him on this, but like
Jamie Fraser is the character name, right? It's not the name of the actual actor.
I think so. I'm not really an expert on men, but I don't know a lot about straight men, but anyway.
Anyways.
Boleskine actually has like a creepy history from the get-go. So like one of the ministers of the church actually claims to have needed to put reincarnated corpses back in the ground after like a necromancer had been raising them. Yeah, but like at the same time, medical science hasn't always been what it is now, so maybe these people just like weren't dead and this holy man was like
was kind of common, was it? No, like they had
yeah
to put,
like
bells and stuff
bells
in coffins.
Yeah,
fuck that,
not the vibe. Eventually though, it's actually said that the church burned down the house boots during a service, killing everyone inside. But it wasn't until the 1760s that Boleskine Manor or Boleskine House was actually built as we know it today. It was originally commissioned by Colonel Archibald Fraser as a hunting lodge for him and his girlies, with a tunnel that linked the manor to the graveyard, bearing HS Roanoke Tees. So not only does the house look over the graveyard where several a many Jacobite have been buried, but also looks over the one and only Scottish landmark that is Loch Ness, another centre of that is drenched in mythical lore of Scotland. But
have you not heard the theory though that because so much weird shit happens like in and around Loch Ness that it might be a portal to another dimension, like in parts of America, like Roswell, where like loads of weird shit happens, and not just aliens but like cryptids in the desert and stuff like that. It's a theory that it's because there's a portal open to another dimension and folk hink because all the shit that happens at Bulliskin and Nessie, of course, that this whole area it's actually just an open portal to another dimension.
I'll
go along with anything.
Are there not like loads of like caverns and caves and like sea caves like in Loch Ness? So like believable, conspiracy theory confirmed, but saving that for the Loch Ness episode because that's definitely going to be something.
That'll be like a 100th episode special.
The 100th episode. Look at us being optimistic that we'll get to 100 episodes.
We have
this
to.
This fame might get to our heads and we'll have like an iconic like feud by then. But
nightmares from the camera flash.
My creepy wee truth. What happened behind the scenes? Not clickbait. Yeah, so a lot has been going on there, and an interesting fact about Colonel Fraser is he's actually the son of the 11th Lord Lovat, Simon Fraser, aka the Fox, aka Sasha Fears, famous for playing both sides of the Jacobite Rebellion. Speaking of both sides, I love a good segue. Speaking of both sides, playing both sides, I'm going to hand over to Rebecca to talk about King of the Power Bottoms, Alistair Crowley.
Right, we'll take a wee break before I speak about Alistair Crowley. Okay, so Alistair Crowley was an English occultist, magician, poet, painter, novelist, mountaineer, and of course, the blueprint power bottom. He's also referred to as the most evil man in the world or the most wicked man in the world, but I actually didn't think he was any of these things. Well, I kind of, he was a magician and an occultist and stuff, but I just didn't go along with this stuff about him being evil. I think,
yeah,
I was reading a Vanity Fair profile that they did on him in 1914. They said that a legend has been built up around his name. He is a myth. No other man has so many strange tales told of him. And I think this way that we perceive Crowley is exactly what he wants. like how Marilyn Manson wants people to view him, or how he did, but like kind of like, yeah, that like rumor,
very this back.
I'll just go along with the fact that everybody thinks I like removed my ribs to suck my dick, like and like obviously he's not done that, but that is very edgelord Alistair Crowley behavior. Like he was
not edgelord,
he was the, what he was the blueprint. Christians like hear him and like the fair, like they think that he was like the antichrist that you find in the Book of Revelations. I would, like, that's so camp.
I would like to interject, actually, quickly. We've discussed him being a power bottom, and I actually have some very interesting research I've done on the topic. Crowley, however you want to say it, was a Libra. And I have done extensive research on this, and I'd like to go off here for a second. Thoughtcatalog.com states that Libras are people who remind you it's Libra season, and that seems very extra to me. Extra bottomy, that is. Moreover, we have a second source, a Tumblr user's list of positions for star signs states that Libras, and I quote, almost always bottom. So I think that's pretty concrete evidence that Alistair Crowley was destined to be who he was, you know?
It was written in the stars.
literally written in the stars.
So, New Age orders and groups hold them like to the highest regard. He's the poster power bottom for Mace counterculture circles, and the otherworldly reputation that he's built weighs in myths or by doing like camp rituals or throwing sex parties, casting elaborate spells, and writing raunchy poetry and novels. He's like everything that every like edge lord
rock star wants to be.
I know, no, like honestly, good for him. Good for him. So this is where I kind of start to dispel these things that I've just said. So he was born in 1875 in Warwickshire, England, into an extremely religious family, and his grandfather owned a successful brewery. Microbrewery moment. If any small microbreweries want to team up and make an Aleister Crowley IPA, we are game. But it was his grandfather that owned this like really successful brewery, but his father was like massive devout Christian and didn't believe in spending any of the profits that the brewery made because it was like made in drunken sin. So his dad, instead of owning the brewery, was a pussy boy, and he like started becoming an evangelical preacher. Preach to his family and his wife and Crowley, like preach at them all day long. They weren't allowed to like eat any more than they like was absolutely necessary. They weren't like allowed to have fun. They had to pray all the time. They had to like listen to him preaching all day, all night. And honestly, like I feel like Kenan people that are like brought up in like really strict religious households. I honestly didn't hate anything against people who are religious. Like that's really good that you've managed to find faith, but like the really strict overzealous preaching, like it just breeds the exact opposite of what you think is going to happen. And I think Crowley's he's a really good example of this. But when he was younger, he really looked up to his dad and he wanted to actually be a preacher just like him. And to be fair, like he does go on to be a preacher of sorts, so you did daddy proud, babe. So instead of going outside to play, he would like shut his cell in and like read the Bible. To be honest, I think he was probably allowed to go outside and play. I think this was like his only option, but this resulted in him being bullied by other kids at his school. And I'm gonna say it, bullies build the world.
I'm gonna prove my haters wrong, and he made them eat.
And he made a massive impact. So
Jesse J, who's laughing now, tease, you know.
And when he was 11, he became like really, really, really sickly, and at that time his father actually died, and then he was sent to live with his uncle in the countryside, kind of like that old saying that like fresh country air will like heal you. But this was like the first time.
It's true.
This is the first time in the little Edward Crowley's life that he would be able to actually have fun. So he would go mountain climbing and he would run about in fields and play. And his uncle would take him to the pubs to drink underage. Eventually, his uncle would actually pay for a sex worker so that Crowley could lose his virginity. How fucked is that?
Kind of metal, but like, what? I know, like,
bad to the bone. But once Crowley's illness had lessened and he was like feeling better, he eventually got sent back to Warwickshire to live with his mum again. But at this point, I think he's not living anymore. It must have been like a few years later or a couple of years later, but like he's a teenager at this point and he's like full of angst and rebellion. And he's obviously like had a massive taste for all the stuff that he hadn't been able to indulge in before because he's really strict religious family. And he was absolutely pissed that all the things that he had enjoyed and that made people happy were by his family and by the church considered a sin, and a massive sin at that. So his mum was like massively shocked and upset about the change that her son had gone through, and she's actually the first person to call him the Beast, like 666, which I think was really cool.
Yeah, that's like mad street cred, I guess.
Like, you know? Fire and brimstone. Like, thanks, mum. Crowley then decided that if he was to be in league with the devil, he would and get to enjoy stuff, then so be it. And then he started a life of true sin, so he says. And then to piss his mum off and welcome in his new life of sin, the first thing that he did was sleep with her maid in his mum's bed just to get a reaction.
Teach their own, I guess. Sigmund Freud can't keep being correct about things. I cannot stress this enough. It's not okay. Like, he never misses. Like
he could have just done it. He could have just done it on the couch or something. He didn't have to do it. Like, there's something to be said about doing it in her bed. There's something to be said. Yeah. But anyway, the maid's reputation was ruined and she could never work in Warwickshire again. Crowley actually stated that she was forced to become a sex worker herself and then became Jack the Ripper's first victim. I think this is bullshit. Like, I think that's Crowley just name dropping something like really creepy and scary in one of his books or in his letters, because he did that
Crowley
quite a lot.
Crowley was the first doll boy.
Yeah, like it seems boy. Like he's like making up shit as he goes along, but it really did work out for him. And he also like said that he knew Jack the Ripper personally. Folk also claimed that he was Jack the Ripper. I genuinely like he was like he's a posh boy. Like I didn't think he was like capable of that.
No.
Like I looked into some of the rituals and stuff because I was like, is this man genuinely evil? And like his rituals are, we'll go on to speak about some of his rituals, but like none of them are like Anton LaVey like sex parties. No, they're actually the same. Like even Anton LaVey didn't do anything. Like folk like make it that these people are sacrificing virgins and stuff like that, but all they're really doing
he's
is like paying sex, being cool and being depressed. Anyway. Crowley goes on to attend Cambridge University. This is where he goes full bottom era. He fell in love with his fellow student, Herbert Pollitt, who actually moonlighted as a drag queen in local bars as Diane de Rougie.
Our die.
Our princess die. So then Crowley's bisexuality only further fueled his rejection of the church. After uni, Crowley inherited his family fortune, which had been obviously little spent due to his father's beliefs. He takes the money, he blows it on sex workers every single day, over-the-top clothes, robes, books on the occult. Honestly, like, I didn't think he's the most wicked man that ever lived, but I definitely think he's one of the coolest. Like,
he's one of the campest, for sure.
Aye, like, it wasn't just, like, expensive suits and stuff that he bought, and it wasn't like drink that he bought, it was like the best wines, the best spirits, like the most cool colorful robes. Like he was actually like he went a bit dressed like a fucking wizard.
He's giving very like GSA like architecture students first time away from home sort of vibes. Like I'm getting very that from him.
You can, if you go to Glasgow, you will see what we At this point, when he's buying all these occult books, his fascination like really starts, and he joins a group of aspiring wizards, which included Dracula author Bram Stoker. And before, like, I mean, that does sound really cool, and that's another great name drop for him. But like, they were called the Order of the Golden Dawn. Which also sounds like something to Skyrim.
Sounds like an Andrew Lloyd Webber musical.
No, it sounds like something to Skyrim, or like Lord of the Rings, the Order of the Golden Dawn. Like, it was honestly a group of big, rich, geeky guys. And good for them. Like, honestly good for them. By translating ancient texts, hieroglyphics, Jewish magic for the Kabbalah, they believed that they could perform real magic and communicate with angels and demons and know everything that there was to know about their own souls and other people's, I guess. Which makes me think that they were all kissing.
Yeah, and were they also not all on like a lot of like LSD?
No,
weed, like?
No, it was like Crowley like was taking acid, eating mushrooms, like smoking hash and all this stuff, and Bram Stoker and that were like, oh, we're not sure about that. Like, he's maybe a bit too edgy for us. Crowley actually believed that these practices were the beginning of a lifelong journey that would eventually lead him to be in touch with his own guardian angel, and that he would be able to call upon demons and communicate with ancient gods. By ancient gods, he was mainly aiming for the Egyptian ones, like Horus. You hear Horus.
Okay, well, that's like a good goal, like, as far as gods go, like, that's a pretty cool pantheon, like...
Yeah. You know? What are the, like, big, scary ancient gods? Like, the big, scary ones?
Cthulhu?
No, that's fictional, baby. Anyway. Same kind of vibe, though. He probably believed that he would be able to, like... heighten his ability to communicate with these gods and angels and demons and stuff because he was chatting on acid and eating mushies 24/7. we're obviously enhancing his spiritual experiences. Like, I'm not going to deny that. Like, it does make it a lot easier to experience stuff, but it was like much, as I say, to the displeasure of the rest of the aristocratic Golden Dawn. And then in 1899, when he was 24, good for him, by the way, he's 24 and he's buying a property on the shores of Loch Ness, honestly. So this is because it's a very remote property, especially at this time. Like, it would have been very remote. Like, there probably wasn't a lot going on the banks of Loch Ness, I assume.
No, there's still not to this very day, I can attest to
that. I, like, driving up this way is, like, horrendous. And I can, like, it's to preserve nature and, like, no cut, like, straight lines through the Highlands. But, oh my God, it's like Hawaiian roller coaster ride up Loch Ness. So he buys Bulliskin House. And his sole mission in having this remote property is to perform a spell called the Abramelin Ceremony. This is an elaborate, time-consuming spell, the preparations of which take 18 months to complete. And then once the preparatory phase is complete, you basically Crowley would get up every morning and, like, only eat a slice of bread. He was, like, intermittent fasting, like, really terribly. Like, he was, like, on hundreds of drugs, was not drinking, was not eating properly, and definitely wasn't sleeping, and had spent 18 months preparing for the spell.
Yeah, I'd claim to see God too if I was intermittent fasting and on acid. Like,
we've all been there.
Same girl.
He basically thinks that his guardian angel is going to appear, and then they will reveal magical secrets. And then once this is accomplished, the magician can then summon the dukes and kings of hell and bind them under his command. So, like, he can tell them to do whatever he wants, which sounds, like, really, really cool. But yeah, Crowley got bored.
Maybe we should just eat bread.
Aye.
Oh, girl slammer.
Crowley had been preparing and performing the spell day in and day out in order to commune with his guardian angel. And with no luck and growing really, really tired of his failures, Crowley left at the behest of his lover in Paris, his boyfriend in Paris. He boosted, basically. He was like, nah, Ken, what, fuck this. He had put, like, literal years of work into the spell and was like, nah, I need to go get my hole, I'm leaving. And
okay,
rumors.
I have a lot of sympathy for him now. Like, being condemned by, like, the press and everything for literally intermittent fasting and wanting his hole. Like, what, are we going to, like, condemn Nicole Kidman next? Like, where is this going to end? Like,
are we going to condemn me next? But rumours began to spread in the local area that Crowley had left without finishing his spell properly. So he didn't, like, close down the spell properly, which, like, left a gate to hell, essentially, cursing the home and the land it rested on, which is up for dispute by us because the land was already fucked before he got there.
I feel like you can't make it that much worse. Like, a church burned down with everyone inside it already. Like,
I think it was pretty fucking tainted. Anyway, after the unfinished ceremony, Crowley leaves Bulliskin, never returns. I think the house, like, ends up becoming, like, really dilapidated. And then he would go on to spend time in Egypt trying to commune with the Egyptian gods again. And then he would go on to move to Sicily and he would start a religion in Sicily. And basically he would just spend he would leave the Golden Dawn and make his own esoteric orders. He would, in 1920, he would establish the Abbey of Thelema, a religious commune in Sicily where he lived with various followers.
It sounds like a sex cult.
It is a sex cult. Getting very much Charlie Manson vibes for this. I think I've seen this film before. he loved to, like, loads of men and women, and his libertine lifestyle led to denunciations in the British press, and the Italian government eventually evicted him in 1923. He divided the following two decades between France, Germany, and England, and continued to promote his religion, Thelema, until his death. So, was he the most evil man on earth? No. But you'll still see him come up in tabloid articles, like, especially in, like, Rags and the UK, like The Sun and stuff, will definitely still speak about him, and I'm assuming that it's the same in America as well. But, like, it is genuinely, the whole reputation that he's had is because, one, he didn't like the church, and two, he was a bit fruity. That I genuinely do believe that that is where most of the hate comes for the fact that, like, people were jealous.
He's fruity.
Of the fact
he's a fruit.
Aye, they were jealous of the fact that he was doing everything that they wanted to do but couldn't because they were so tied up in the church. I think he's fucking cool. I don't think he's evil, but I think he minded, like any of, like, the reputations that like come up, like any of the slander that came up and still get said about him. Like, I think it's what he wanted. Like, it was by design.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, I don't care.
Like, performance art. He's very Trisha Paytas vibes. Like, all press is good press sort of thing. But
like he did, like, at the end of the day, he just wanted to dress up Caspel's, have fun and bottom, and like,
yeah, he never really did anything wrong.
Judge? But
the life I live.
Okay, Liam, you want to tell us about Jimmy Page?
I do.
Certified nonce.
Certified nonce. Led Zeppelin guitarist. So in 1972, Jimmy Page, who loves like occult, like lore and artifacts and stuff, like real collector of it, like. If that wasn't a red flag, like, what is, you know? He was so aware that, like, Crowley's house was supposed to be haunted by demons and that, and he bought it anyway. But while he was busy on tour, he got his friend was named Malcolm Dent, I believe, and he got him to, like, see over the house as, like, a caretaker. And then, like, went into this being, like, a skeptic of the paranormal and everything, wasn't a real believer or anything. But, like, literally as soon as he got there, he started to, like, experience, like, strange occurrences. And he started hearing,
white,
like,
person buying a scary house stereotype in horror. That nothing could go wrong in this shithole.
very that, like... I literally, like, why do people still do it? Like, do you not have any self-preservation instinct? I'm not sure who's more stupid, like, his friend who is like, oh no, I don't really believe in ghosts, I'm just gonna go look after this severely haunted house on a site of where a church burned down. Okay, good life choices, I guess. But yeah,
play, like, stupid games, win stupid prizes. He's gonna win some stupid prizes.
Yeah, weeks after Dent started living at the house, he started hearing, like, noises in the hallway at night time, and as soon as he would, like, go out into the hall, they'd stop. And then there was, like, one night he said was, like, the scariest night of his life. Like, he was in his room and he heard, like, animal noises almost at his door, like the whole, like, I'm fuming, you know.
I'm like, fuming, let me in.
after researching this, though, he came to the decision that, like, so, like, something I maybe should have mentioned earlier, Beleskin is also just down the hill from, like, Airgy, which is, like, the, like, very center of the Highlands being a very mystical and, like, fucked up place, I guess, like, spiritually. Very haunted, very cursed, fairies, giants, the lot. But we'll
ethnic cleansing, all the rest.
Bye. So the church, the kirk, would have been the closest consecrated ground to Airgy, like, where all the, like, the spiritual energy would converge in the middle, you know. So even though, like, Lord Lovett, as I discussed earlier, even though he was, like, executed, like, in London for, like, his crimes during, like, the Jacobite Rebellion, well, his crimes, quote-unquote, like, wanting Scotland's land back, I guess that's a crime. Yeah.
Who knows this one?
He was right. Stop the count. He was right. Anyway, yeah, so Dent decided that he believes that it was likely Lord Lovett's head rolling down the floor he heard, and possibly, like, one of the demons Crowley let loose that was, like, the pig bottom noises at his door. He never saw anything, and despite all of the experiences that he had, he still thought, you know, it would be a good idea if I moved my wife and kids to stay in this house with me.
Oh my god, like literally these horror film stereotypes are fucking real. Literally, Jack Torrance bullshit, what the fuck?
Like, I feel like Insidious is less.
I was literally just thinking Insidious.
And more a cautionary tale. Like, just don't do it. Don't do it. Don't move to a house in a remote area if it's built out of wood and not staying in it.
We are buying new builds in this house. That's a lie. I stay in a new building. It's been haunted. Depends who you are.
I literally lived in Merchant City in like an old building. But like, although, do you remember my ghost? Do you remember the stories of my ghost? I named him Henry, but
he was a king.
That's a story for another day.
He was like rolling around on the floor and like making pig noises and banging on the doors.
He liked to watch. He was a bit free. But yeah, he was nice.
Any other fun facts about Blueskin before we move on? The hauntings, anyway.
Well, another fun fact. Have you ever been?
No, I actually haven't been. By the time that I spent Macy Mapping in the Highlands, it was already burnt down. Oh, spoiler.
As a Highland girly, I've been. One of my friends did, like, a Ouija board there, and I was like,
fuck off.
Okay. That was, I mean, Ouija board is like parlor games.
Yeah, I know, but they're like asking for
don't
trouble.
Don't tell fate like that.
Nothing but trouble.
Yeah, no. I'm pretty sure there were rumors that like two of the like popular girlies in my year, when I say girlies, I mean like a heterosexual couple. they apparently like had sex there, but that's neither here nor there. And I'm not going to name their names, but like,
that's hot.
Your womb is haunted.
Oh, definitely.
Your womb is haunted. Like, definitely, you're gonna, hot, though. Like, that's going to be the Antichrist when you give birth, but...
It's going to be the wickedest man alive.
By that, we mean a homosexual.
That is what they meant by that. But as I've lit on in 2015 and in 2019, the house actually suffered serious fire damage. So most of the restoration efforts that Page and Dent had done were lost. I think Jimmy Page actually wanted seen murals in the abbey that Crowley had built in Sicily. So he like copied that artwork and put it on the walls in Blueskin House. And then obviously this was all lost during the fire, but in 2019, the Blueskin House Foundation took over ownership of the estate, and they are currently restoring the house. And if you Google that foundation, you can actually donate, because I think it's privately funded. I think it's literally a charity, and I think it's like a bunch of like occult and gothy people that might be renovating it. But they can email me about that, because I'm not sure.
Did they not literally have to like put out a like PSA, like Satanists, please don't disrupt the rebuild of this house? Like,
Satanists, please no fires this time. Y'all need to shut down water rituals.
I mean, things happen in threes, and it's like burned down twice now.
No, it burned down three times now. That church.
What?
The church.
Yeah, church. And then it burned down twice since the church.
Yeah, there was a fire in 2015 and then the big fire in 2019.
Go off, Queen.
So hopefully that's it, but like if it is cursed like they say, then it'll all be for naught.
Life is shit and then you die. Yeah.
So that's us. I'm actually gonna cite my sources. I used Wikipedia, of course. and then I actually used the book of Abraham Ellen the Mage. That didn't have an author. Do What Thou Wilt, A Life of Alistair Crowley. That Vanity Fair article from 1915. And The Wickedest Man in the World, a BBC documentary. Did you use any sources, Liam? Or was it just Wikipedia?
I mean, I used a few sources, but I didn't know we were doing this kind of like intellectual girly podcast. So my word to everyone is take my word for it. And also all of the like...
I believe her.
All of the believe women. All of the astrology stuff was like from like Tumblr pages and that. So like if you go on Tumblr and then type in something like sex positions astrology, it will tell you like it's usually like Capricorns are tops, and like I know that, so it's probably true. Yeah. So if you're interested in that, I really recommend them. They're quite fun. Really, really interesting though. So yeah.
And you can follow us on Instagram at the Creepy Wee Podcast, Twitter at the Creepy Wee Pod, and subscribe to us, like, review, rate, that would help. And if you're ever in Dunfermline, your namesake is actually a pub. It's called the Creepy Wee Pub, and you can find it across from Dunfermline Abbey. So two birds, one stone. Get in there. Thank you. Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.